OTB AM. Tommy Walsh, how are you getting on?
Yeah, good, Adrian.
Thanks a million for coming in.
Yeah, no problem at all.
He goes on and on and on and on. And I don't think people go too deep with the obituaries about Brian Cody, because that would be just crazy. But, he's close to the peak of his powers again. I mean, if he ever waned.
Yeah, and some guys, they like to maybe finish at the top or go out the top of their careers, maybe win an All-Ireland and go. We've seen Liam Sheedy when he won the All-Ireland 2010. That was it. He kind of went to the top of the mountain, and he was getting out of there and maybe to pursue other avenues that he wanted to pursue. But Brian Cody only has one ambition, and that's to be involved in the game first and foremost. I had experience with him from primary school, and as regards, he was the primary school coach, teacher in St. Patrick's de La Salle in Kilkenny City, big city school, for so many years. I mean, I was growing up through the primary school ranks. He was there every day on the sideline. Anytime we played St. Pat's de La Salle, in the same way he runs up and down the sideline now, just as passionate, just as hungry to win games. So I think that's the reason he's lasting so long. That's the reason. He's not there to first and foremost win All-Ireland medals. He's there first and foremost because he loves being there. He's often been asked a question from Mara Trasa and many other interviewers over the years, like, does he feel the pressure? Does he feel the stress? He doesn't. And looking at him on the sideline, you say, that guy is worked up, and he's probably not
spitting on the hands,
yeah,
and he's
and really into it, and like Davy Fitz, really, really passionate.
It's different from being stressed, though, isn't it? Like, it's a different kind of a, you're in the middle of the game, you'd be want to be a stone to not be passionate about it at that point. But I think, like, because even it's something Derek McGrath touches in his Irish Examiner column today about the cool, calm, determined, planned, there's a calmness about, I suppose, that maybe he didn't always have from day one, but that comes with your 78th All-Ireland final week, I presume.
78, oh my God. But he's just comfortable in his own skin. He's comfortable with his decisions. He knows that you make decisions and you can't base it on hindsight. Like, we've the best pundits around the country that can call it as after the game. But when you're involved in making decisions, you have to call it before the game. And often you will get it wrong as well. And if you're not comfortable with that, I think that's where the stress and the worry comes from. Mm-hmm. I think you have to be able to say to yourself, I'm going to go with my gut feeling. I'm going to go with my stomach on this. If it goes wrong, that's grand. I live with that. And I think the managers that don't last and the managers that can only keep it going for a certain amount of years are the lads that make the decisions. And afterwards, if they lose the game, possibly regret, I should have done this, I should have done that. You just have to go with it. Mm. And if it works out, it works out. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. And look forward again to the next day. So I think that's one trait he definitely has. He fully believes in his own ability.
Do you think he cares about the idea of being the best manager of all time? The idea of just creating this team, your team, this team, whatever the next team may be if he hangs around for another period of years, and just the greatness that they bestow on the world of hurling, the greater picture?
I don't think so. For the simple reason is, it kind of came to light there during the week, a few newspaper articles, that this guy had a very successful career as a hurler. And he had bad injuries with his knees. And I'd say it probably didn't sit well with him. Like, he finished up earlier than he probably would have wanted. I'd say he would have loved him to stay hurling when he was 40, 45. But he couldn't do it with the injuries. He had bad old knees. And I reckon that he saw that the joy he would have got out of his own career, once it's over, it's over. And, like, what joy do you get out of people saying you're a great hurler, you're a great this, back in the past? There's no joy to be got out of that. Yes, it's nice for people to say that, but that energy, that excitement that you feel before a match and that is gone. So I'd say when he became manager, he realised this and he's learned the lesson from his own career that, right, say after 2014 All-Ireland, 15 All-Ireland, when we had massive retirements the year before, he won an All-Ireland that no one thought he was going to win, and people thought, now is the time for Cody to go. He's done it with the players he had over the 10-15 year period. Now he's done it with a new bunch of players. He will go down as the greatest GA manager of all time. But I'd say he had a chat with himself, and his wife Elsie is just as big into it as he is. Said, do you know what? I go off here now. where am I going to get my buzz next? Mm. Where's that feeling of championship going to come? And I'd say that has to be a factor because, like, Liam Sheedy went out with the top in 2010. Drawn back, well, 9 years later, he had a very successful career in the bank. He's had a very successful career on the Sunday game. He's done a few other things inside the GAA and the Irish Sports Council. But the draw of the sideline brought him back. And I think probably Brian just learned that from his own career.
He's, like, famously, you've spoken about it before, like, he's not necessarily the sort of fella who brings you terribly close as one of his players. He'll sort of keep that distance. Since you've retired in the years afterwards, have you had much cause to be in contact with him, or is he the sort of guy that you'd be dropping the odd text, or is there any of that kind of relationship, or is it, listen, that's done now, best of luck with the rest of your life, we'll see you down the road?
Well, I'm in the media now, so he's definitely not going to talk to me now.
Blocked your number.
So, to be honest, I wouldn't even be comfortable talking to the players at the moment, right, in because I'm involved with yourselves.
Yeah. What about your brother?
What? Yeah, I wouldn't ask him anything. You know, I was trying to trick and joke with him last night. I was saying, gee, I couldn't believe you picked this lad for the final, you know, just pretending. But he wasn't buying it, obviously, like, but...
there wouldn't be any sort of, there's no sort of, you know, because obviously he has to have a certain type, or certainly as he sees it, has to have a certain type of relationship with you as your player, and it's not as if then once you retire, that all falls away, the cloak falls off, and he's like, listen, you know, it's been great, and we'll meet up, and we'll have a coffee every now and then, or like, that's, there's just nothing. Even if you weren't in the media, it seems like that's...
Well, you just, when would you meet him, Like if I did meet him, I would have a grand tournament chat. I've met him, I have, listen, all joking aside, I've met him at one or two games. Seen Fitzgibbon and that. Mm. Brilliant hurling chat, brilliant, you know, like I would have had a good relationship with Brian, like, in regards. Besides, like, you know, I know he's a tough man and that, but he loves the crack, like, he loves laughing and joking.
Does he, yeah?
He does, he genuinely does. Yeah. And you'll often see that side of him after the All-Ireland, from then until Christmas. Yeah. Meet him, you have great fun. He loves people's company as regards laughing and joking. But you see, at the back of his mind, he has to have that authority. He has to have them set them standards that he must make big decisions when it comes to it. And like, obviously, when you're gone out of the game, like, just social media and that is so strong in today's world that, like, if Brian Cody is to give his opinion in a chat, like, the first thing that you're going to do is you'll be talking to a lad down the pub. She's talking to Cody there, he thinks this lad is,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So that's the way, and you have to understand that. So, like, I remember one time we're up at an Ireland-Poland. We're playing up in Crow Park. I think the game was 4-3 at the end. And there was a huge Polish, because the Polish, there was so many of them here, there was a huge crowd at the game. And remember, we were in Jury's Hotel for a few pints before the game, and we seen Steve Bruce across the at the bar. And to be honest, to this day, I don't even know, was he drinking? And but we were talking to, you know, all your friends when you go home, and they're just saying, geez, met Steve Bruce there in Jury's. Oh, he was lurrying down pints.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, like, that's the way it goes. So you have to be careful.
Keep, like, out of it, like, almost, yeah.
I think so.
Dermot McGrath writes a lot about him, and him coming in to De La Salle, actually, and sort of giving a few team talks back in the day, and Liam Sheedy coming as well, and their different styles and that kind of thing. He talks about, like, the impact that he had, and... Even with Sheedy, he talks about John Milan, who's his brother-in-law, referencing the speech that Sheedy gave as the best motivational speech that he'd ever heard. Like, and it seems like both of them, Sheedy and Cody, almost come from the same school, almost in that regard. Like, that there's a basic basic but strong message that they'd like to deliver and to lead into a game.
And they're both brilliant at getting the best out of people. And Liam Sheedy has often referenced that he loves dealing with people and getting the best out of them. Mm. That's his number one motivation. And I would have came across that in the Bank of Ireland as regards staff that have dealt with him. I haven't dealt directly with him myself, but I know a lot of people that have,
right,
and they love him. Just think he's awesome and really gets the best out of him. And you go back, I think the two of them as well, you could compare them. I think the two of them are psychologists. They just know how to rub people up the right way. And you go back to Sheedy's interviews back in the league, he will never doubt this Tipperary team. We've heard that from the Sunday game pundits from last year, that he just thinks these guys are the bee's knees. I suppose he was lucky enough they got him on the inter-county kind of manager in regards to minor. They won a minor All-Ireland for him, some of these players. So he's probably going to be forever indebted to them guys. But go back to his comments in the early rounds of the league. He said the one thing people might question was, I think, was it their work rate, the Tipperary supporters. He was saying the fans, and he was saying that's not going to happen. Like, they're going to go to the ends of the earth. And he was nearly kind of saying to the players in a public forum that, listen, as this is what you have to do. And they have not let him down since. From that very first league game, and Jamie Callan was chasing guys from 30, 40 yards, they have kept that going, and it's no fluke that they're in All-Ireland now.
One last one, Cody, before we flog the death out of it, but is he more likely to leave after Kilkenny win in All-Ireland or after they lose in All-Ireland?
I don't know. I don't think that will come into it. I think it'll just come into it maybe 10 years down the line, maybe when he gets just too old for it, possibly. Like, say, Alex Ferguson. I have a feeling something like that will happen, where Alex Ferguson, if we go back and look at when he retired first, out probably at the top, and suddenly realised, you know what, I'm young enough to stay going at this. I love it. I'm good at it. Let's keep it going. And I think Cody will stay going until, you know, until he can't do it no more.
You just said 10 more years.
What?
You said 10 more years just there. Is that what you're expecting?
I don't know. Like, I'm not sure what age he is now, but...
I wouldn't be surprised, right? Like, it's
no.
One of the newspapers makes the point this morning that he's, you know, the way, like, when people get a bit older or whatever, they can lose some of their aura or whatever it might be. Even physically, your height diminishes over the course. But whoever it was making the point was like, this guy seems to be getting like bigger and bigger. You know, like his persona or his aura is grows and grows. Like, you almost wouldn't be surprised to see him go until he's like in his early 80s.
Yeah, but that'd be some achievement in fairness. But isn't a lot to be to do with winning as well. Like, you know, when if he goes a couple of years without winning an All-Ireland final, there's massive, you know, pressure in that job, and people, you know, will start talking. And, you know, as long as he's thereabouts winning or in All-Ireland finals, you know, he will be there. But I'm sure, like, you know, if it goes a couple of years without him winning All-Ireland, I'm sure he'll start wondering, you know, will I stay going, or is it better off not to maybe to stand out at this stage? So I think he sets high standards for himself. So as long as he keeps them high standards going, he'll be happy enough to stay there.
The highest. Who's been the manager of the year for you so far, Sheedy or Cody?
Whoever wins Sunday.
Pre that,
I don't
what
want
do you think?
To be. I don't think you can separate him, because Sheedy has brought a team that many people thought, like Ger Lochnan wrote him off last year, I think it was, that they were finished. They didn't win a game in the Munster round robin. Most of their main players were hitting the 30 years of age mark. We're not in the old format of four games a year and you win in All-Ireland. We're now into, if Tipperary were to win the All-Ireland this year, they've won eight games. Well, they've played in eight games, championship games, with huge intensity. So I think what Sheedy has done has been remarkable in freshening up these guys and getting them to believe. Also, the question marks were put to Tipperary was, when things got tough, would they be able to win the match? And that we all knew how brilliant they were as hurlers, but when it got intense and you had to get down and down and dirty, would they be able to win a match? They proved that the last day. And I think the last 20 minutes against Wexford could be the greatest 20 minutes of these guys' careers, because if they were to go on and win an All-Ireland this time, I think it'll be referenced for many, many years, the character of these Tipperary guys. Towards, if they hadn't, say if they had to bow down in the semi-final against Wexford, everyone would be saying the other, that when it was put up to them, they weren't able to answer. And that was fine when the game was grand and open, but when it got down and dirty, they weren't able to answer the questions. So I think what Sheedy has done, as regards the character even of these guys, of the perception of them out there now, is just so much different than before. And Cody then has... Now, the only thing I would say about Brian Cody and his management team, like, he has always said that he has brilliant players at his disposal. And I know you can't compare them to previous generations, but the forwards that they have are exceptional. And I'm sure any county in Ireland would love to have the six forwards Kilkenny have. So like, he's not managing guys that, you know, are sixth or seventh down the pecking order.
Yeah, they're no chumps,
These are a good team.
When you look at that Tipperary team, and especially the crew that have been there from 10 years ago and they have two All-Ireland medals in their back pocket, is it a bit harsh to say that it's an underachievement unless they get to that third All-Ireland medal? Because it seems that they are good enough to have the three-time All-Ireland winner tag beside them.
Yeah, they're definitely good enough to have three All-Ireland medals beside them, beside their names. I think, I wouldn't think... if you win one All Ireland medal, I think you're not underachieving. It's such a hard thing to do. It's just so, so difficult. And when you win, like as Limerick won last year, when you're looking back over the winter and looking back maybe this year over that championship, it's easier to say back, yeah, listen, we were the better team in that. But there's so many instances where you could have been out of that championship and go back to Limerick last year, they could have been out of that championship a good few times, up to the last puck of the game. If someone had got a flick on Joe Canning's long free, a goal, Limerick were gone. So I think we can't underestimate how bloody difficult it is to win a championship, and especially now when there's about, I suppose, seven teams that anyone can beat anyone. So I'd see two All-Ireland medals as a massive achievement and a massive haul.
And that's probably part of it as well, the coming off the highs of those years and the effort that goes into those two All-Ireland wins. That's why we've probably seen a bit of a diminishing return from Tipperary immediately afterwards, and it takes them a couple of years to recharge themselves like they have done this year.
Yeah, and I remember when they won the All-Ireland 2017, they were flying it again. And I was at the game they played against Dublin. It could have been an All-Ireland quarter-final up in Thurles. And they played the game so beautifully that day. They were flicking the ball here, flicking the ball there, putting the balls in the back of the net. They ran up a massive score and beat Dublin quite convincingly. And I said to whoever was beside me, it was my mother or father, Marlise, that they will rue this, because you will not get away with that lovely hurling when you get to the latter stages against the best teams, because they will assault you. They won't give you a second. The minute you go to flick that ball, they will be on top of you. And that's what happened. I think it was Galway then went on and beat them in the All-Ireland semi-final. Towards this year, it was the complete opposite. They were playing one of the games, one of the round robin games anyway, and they were winning it well. I was at the game, and Liam Sheedy, someone did something like that up in the forward line, one of their forwards. Sheedy went down and went through him, and just was not accepting that they were going to the 75th minute or 76th minute, whatever it was, with full-blooded intensity, no showboat, nothing like that. You play the game as fast and as hard as you can, and now you see the benefits of it. When the questions weren't asked in the semi-final against Wexford, because what they'd done against Wexford was Chin put that ball in the back of the net and there were 5 or 6 points up, down a man. Like, I couldn't see any way back for that Tipperary team. But they grounded it out and came away a victory. And it goes back to them little things that Sheedy was after kind of investing in them in the early parts of the year. So,
what's your take then on this weekend? How are you seeing it, or where is it going to be won and lost?
I think the both half back lines, Adrian, is going to be massive. We've seen in the semi final, Kilkenny's half back line, they really in the second half closed it down. And anytime Nash went to give his puck outs, Harnedy and these guys were doing their diagonal runs, but the Kilkenny backs were just there, read the game brilliantly, the half back line in midfield. So I think, and the Tipperary, we know what their half back line is like. You know, three of the best hurlers that are in Ireland. You have the two brothers, Ronan and Pádraig, and you have Brendan Maher, the man marker as such, kind of reinvented since he'd done the cruise shit. Probably a lesson to every young hurler in Ireland, what you can do after a big injury. And, you know, it's funny enough that we're up here and off the ball. I'd say a couple of weeks after he'd done that cruciate, we did a morning interview with Nathan over in, it was the Today FM Championship Sunday, yeah. Sunday morning. I was sitting beside Brendan doing that for possibly an All-Ireland semi-final. And, and I was here, this guy's going to have some road back. And by God, he came back. Mm. And look at him now, like, it's brilliant. So I think where's going to be won or lost? I think fitness-wise and speed-wise, there's not much difference in these two teams. I think character-wise, the ability to come back, the ability to stick in, these two teams this year, there's not much of a difference. So I think it's going to come down to their skill on the day, and I think their ability to bypass, whether that's over the half-back line or play it short, will be the winning and losing of this game.
Yeah, like the matchups are fascinating. We had good chats about them. I know that Shane and the lads on the hurling show yesterday as well got right stuck into it. Colm Fennelly is one bit of a head scratcher, maybe from a Tipperary point of view. Like, what's the, how do they plan for a player like Colm Fennelly, given his physicality and pace? He's got that combination that's tough to deal with.
Yeah, well, I think it goes back to the unit, the six backs. We often heard in our dressing room, like JJ Delaney, he would never really let it be said that you marking one guy, right, who's all E together. And he learned that from a guy before him, Peter Barry. When JJ was a young fella, it probably served him right until he finished. Peter Barry told him, like, don't be worried, I'll always be there for you. And it's easy to say that, but Peter was always there for JJ and the rest of us. And JJ held that true to the rest of his career, that any young fella or whatever was coming in, JJ would always say to him, listen, don't be worried, I'll be there for you. And I think that's the key thing for the guys against Colm Fennelly, because if they mark Colm Fennelly as a unit, it will be much easier than on your own. We saw in the football last week, Mayo put their best, one of the best footballers in Ireland on the King Con, and you say, listen, if anyone is to mark him, Lee Keegan will mark him. But two chances, two goals.
Gosh.
And that is no disrespect to Lee Keegan. I think that goes down to when you're marking the top guys, you need the boys around you to help you out. And I think, you know, that'll be the case.
So, like, the name that's been mentioned in terms of a man-marking job is Barry Heffernan, I think. Is that something then that Tipperary are looking at as to how much we can help this guy out in terms of dropping men back, perhaps, behind the full-back line or whatever they may do when the ball is in the air, especially?
Yeah, I wouldn't see Barry Heffernan as a man marker as such. I see him as a ball player. Good man from Nina. They've done well recently getting the county finals in that, and he's been one of their main players. But I think Barry Heffernan is more a guy you're taught from a young age, defenders, get out in front. Mm. He's that type of player. He wants to get on the ball all the time. So whoever it is, Barry Heffernan, James Barry or Seamus Kennedy, one of them is going to be marking him, you'd imagine. They'll hardly put over Cottle Barrett on him. And I reckon it's just going to have to defend like a unit. Like you said, Owen, I don't think it's that unnatural to this tip back line. Like Páraic Mar, Ronan Mar, they never depended on speed or man-marking abilities. Theirs was reading of the game, dropping back in the pocket, picking up ball, clearing ball. Their way of marking guys is, I'm going to win more balls than you. And I think that's the way that they will set out to mark Colm Fennelly. I don't think there'll be a man-marker as such.
Jackie was in with Owen during the week and he was talking about Adrian Mullen. I think assassin might have been the word that he used in relation to him. What's so special about this guy? Like, it seems like in the way that TJ is for the senior hurler of the year, that a good performance at the weekend, decent performance, will see him win the young player of the year award. What's so special about him, and how again do Tipperary plan for him?
Yeah, well, he'll probably be out on the wing, so he's going to be on one of the Mars, like, so I don't think.
Ronan Mar, maybe.
Yeah, possibly Ronan Mar. It depends on what they do with Wally. Like, if Wally's out in the half back line, they'll probably need, you know, I don't think they'll put Brendan Mar on Wally. So I would be expecting the opposite. I'd say Brendan Mar could be on Adrian Mullen.
Right.
And I'd say Ronan Mar, because Ronan Mar is very good in the air, as we've seen in the semi final.
On Fennelly?
No, on Wally.
Right, okay, yeah.
On the half back line. Yeah. That's the way I'd see it. Listen, you don't know, but I think that's the way I'd be doing it anyway, because Walter is brilliant in the air, like, and he's at the top of his game at the moment. But Adrian Mullen, the top class players, they always seem to have space. You don't know how they have it, they just do. He has pace, he has power, he has the hurling. So what makes him stand out? Just everything, really. There's no one thing. The only thing about it is he's young, so they will look at maybe getting in his face in the first few minutes and maybe putting him off. But while he's so young, he's so much experience. He's the club hurler of the year. And what would I put it down to? Just brilliant hurler. His brother is a brilliant hurler, Darren Mullen, one of the greatest sidesteps in the game ever since he was minor. He's a halfback. There was four of them on the club All-Ireland winning team. So there's talent in the family. Their mother's a Fennelly. So it's just in him, like, you know.
He good genes.
Good genes, in fairness, yeah. And it always counts.
So, like, TJ was the other thing that came up with Jackie, and he's sort of talking about him as being in the conversation. He wouldn't commit, to, despite being pushed to commit, whether it would be himself or Henry. Like, he was talking about, he's now in the conversation for the greatest of all time, and if he goes ahead and wins this weekend in the season that he's having, like, obviously a guy that you would have soldiered with for years, what's the same question about him? Like, what's so special about him? And, like, you know, I suppose particularly what he's done over the last couple of years when a lot of you lads sort of left the scene, the way that he's stood up has been remarkable.
It has. And, you know, where does he sit? I think there's the kind of, there's the three top dogs of Kilkenny hurling, is Kerr, DJ and Henry. And I think we'll have to make that a four now. And that's without question of a doubt. And I wouldn't have any doubts about it at all. He is in that top four. And I wouldn't rate any of them above each other. I think they're all brilliant in their own rights. I obviously haven't seen Kerr a whole lot, bar some old video footage. But, you know, by talking to the older generation, like, and they would have seen Henry and DJ as well. Unbelievable. But TJ, he's definitely the greatest man I've ever seen in the air. Like, usually with a forward, if you don't want to play the ball, you know, you can stop him catching the ball. As long as you've, because you're behind him, you have to imagine. So you can see everything. He can't see you. So you can stick in your hurl at the last second, flick the ball, you can win your hand, whatever you want. But TJ, no matter what you do, he seems to be still able to catch the ball. He's nearly unmarkable in the air. Why is that? I think a couple of years ago, around 2000, and I'd say 14, it was 2012 actually, he hurted his knee in the All-Ireland final against Galway, and I think it was his knee cap, so he had to go off and get big operation and spend a lot of time in the gym. And from then on, he was still suffering a little bit in 2013, the kind of after effects of that injury, but then from 14 on, he just turned into this absolute monster and lives in the gym now. His work rate went through the roof. So TJ in his earlier years wouldn't have always been known. He was a brilliant hurler and could make the ball talk, but he wouldn't have been known as one of the workers on the team. Now you nearly say he's the, like Henry grew into it, TJ is nearly the best worker on that Kilkenny team. So when you have your best hurler doing that, well, sure, anything can happen. And but what makes him stand out, I think his ability to win his own ball. He was never the fastest either as regards 10-yard bursts, but has done, by all accounts, incredible footwork and incredible speed work in the gym and with the strength and conditioning coaches, because now you see him in a ruck and 2 seconds later he's after doing a shimmy this way, a shimmy that way, back and back maybe, and suddenly he's in a, you know, 5 yards of space. So I think his attitude to his fitness and strength, along with his ability to win the ball, makes him stand out.
The Brendan Maher might be an option. We keep going back to him, but he could be an option to pick him up as well. Like, what's the, so, like, he will spend some of the, I'm sure, some of the game going in with closer to goal, will withdraw a bit. Like, what is that a reflection on how Tipperary are dealing with him? Like, if you had an option to put him in a position that he's going to best affect the game, regardless of other factors, where would that be? And how do you expect that to play out, I suppose, over the course of Sunday?
Where we were putting TJ, is it? I don't think Tip will bow to anyone. I don't think they'll put anyone in on TJ. I think they're just going to say, lads, we've six backs good enough to beat your Kilkenny forwards, and we're going to take you on. Right. We're backing down from no one. That's Sheedy's kind of, that's his mantra. So it'd be different if it was kind of a small little fast lad. You could imagine Brendan Maher going over him. I don't think Brendan Maher would be suitable to TJ. I think Pádraig Maher is the guy they're going to trust, because he's just as big, just as committed, just as strong in the air. And I think they will depend on Pádraig Maher there with help from Noel midfield. I tried to watch Noel closely in the last couple of matches that I've seen him, and he tends to spend a lot of his time, albeit he can make the odd run forward, he does spend a lot of time tracking back, helping out, because he has that game sense. He kind of, some players just know where the ball is going to be. So I think Noel Maher will be there helping out, or Noel McGrath, sorry. So I think it's going to be a joint effort between the midfielders and Pádraig Maher to pick up TJ. Where I'd leave TJ centre forward, definitely. Now, if it's a 6-on-6, so if it is kind of just fairly open, I wouldn't mind seeing TJ going in the edge of the square.
Right.
Yeah, 2014 final, we were in trouble in the first day, and TJ, I think it was the first day, TJ got a ball around 25 yards out and just absolutely rifled the net. So he's so good close to goal. It would be an option, and I would like to see him in there for a couple of minutes.
If you're a Kilkenny back this week, what's the what's the best piece of advice you'd give yourself going up against this bunch of class Tipperary forwards?
I'd say sweeper. Could you bring back a sweeper? No, I'd say just all in it together. Try and be kind of close to each other for moral support more than anything else. But I think you can defend that Tipperary. We tried to man-mark these guys in 2016 as regards going man for man, half back line follow them out the field. And we all seen what happened after that. Like, the full back line, you know, they probably felt the brunt of the criticism and that, but, you know, the best back in Ireland wouldn't have marked that Tipperary forward line that day with the ball they were getting. Now, there was two fronts to it. The Tipperary half-back line, if they're coming out with the ball unchallenged and even get 2 seconds to look up, then the runs are being made inside and the boys only need a yard. Suddenly, they're gone, ball over the bar. So two things need to happen. The half-back line and midfield, they all, and full-back line, they all need to work as one unit, and the forwards need to just delay him. And you might see your man clearing the ball in the half-forward line, or even, you know, cornerbacks are coming up nowadays clearing ball. Even if you're getting in his way and he clears it 100 yards down the field, that's okay. The last thing you want to do is him getting up, not feeling any pressure behind him, and just a lovely little ball into the corner. So the only way to mark this Tipperary forward line, because I think they are the best forward line in the country as regards talent, Sheedy's work rate added to that, and the only way to mark them is delay the clearances, even if it's for a second, and work together.
So this is as much up to the Kilkenny forwards as anybody else?
Yeah, well, jointly, because there's no point in they doing that if the Kilkenny half-back line are gone way out the field and the space is there. So I think it's a joint effort.
It's a massive day for Hugh Lawler, because you mentioned 2016 and we saw what Seamus Callanan did. On a one-to-one battle, is it sort of the flip side of what you were talking about when it comes to Tipperary's back line, that it is just a joint effort, or is there a man-to-man sort of great performance in Hugh Lawler this weekend? Because we know he has it. He was brilliant in the last couple of games.
Yeah, and I suppose we see him at the penalty that he gave away the last day. He goes for the ball. So he's not hanging back. He's not trying to play the man. He goes for the ball. And I think that's the only way to play Callanan. You give Callanan the ball, he's just too strong, too fast, too good. You give him the ball, it's going to be a score. So my you know, belief in Hugh Lawler is stay doing what you're doing, stay attacking that ball, stay winning that ball, keep the ball out of Callanan's hand, and if the half forward line and the Kilkenny midfielders and full forward line are doing their job in delaying the ball, well, it's going to come up and it's going to be a 50-50 ball then, and off you go, and it's not going to be a lovely little spray pass into the corners. So for Hugh Lawler, I think it's a massive challenge for a youngster. But sure, what other way would you want it? Like, if he comes out marking Callanan, who's in the running for Hurler of the Year, has scored a goal in every game this year, he's nearly at the top of the all-time scoring charts in the history of the game. Like, what better challenge have you? And Lawler, he has a good club man beside him there, Paddy Deegan, he's more the warrior, like, he's more the lad that gets in lads' faces. So he has plenty of backup there, and I'm sure that they'll be having chats there during the week.
He's a bit of a road to catch on Nicky Rackard, actually, Owen was talking about earlier on, the goals. It's phenomenal. Was it 59 he is?
Yeah, Rackard's on 59, and he would go level with Kerr on 35 this weekend if he scores one.
Right.
Ridiculous.
That's an amazing. I'd love to see his goals per game ratio if he scored 59.
That's what you're saying, because like three or four games a year, like championship-wise, bloody incredible.
It's absolutely crazy.
There's so many fascinating matchups in it, and like the goalkeepers is obviously another aspect to it, and Owen Murphy, from a Kilkenny point of view, like, it seems, listening to people over the last couple of days who know about these things, David Herity being one of them, talking about maybe certainly being the best goalkeeper there at the minute, but maybe in the conversation for the greatest of all time, Owen Murphy, which is quite the accolade when you consider the contemporaries that he would have had over the years. Like, his importance to that Kilkenny team, almost like in a Cluxton to Dublin way, or a Alisson to Liverpool, sort of pulling a lot of the strings there.
Yeah, incredible. He showed his worth last year against Limerick. So, like, you can talk about intensity and you can talk about work rate and you can talk about all these things, but that's only part of it. You have to have brilliant players along with it to be able to win these titles and to be able to compete with the best teams. You go back to last year against Limerick, when Kilkenny nearly snuck it in the quarter final down Turles, and he made about four unbelievable saves. And that it's that kind of thing, along with the work rate, keeps you with it. So you need both from both. So I think Owen Murphy over the last couple of years has done more for the belief than anyone else on this clinic. Well, TJ, himself and TJ, I suppose. But Owen Murphy has just, his saves, it's like scoring a pint or scoring a goal. There's a forward going in on goal, game over, suddenly he pulls off this remarkable save. The All-Ireland semi-final a couple of years ago, he caught Páraga O'Mahony's free over the crossbar. Most goalies, listen,
let it off.
I don't want to be dropping this down next minute a goal. We've seen, you know, Eamon Taffgod in 95 All-Ireland ball, drop down, buried ball in the back of the net, clear, go on and win the All-Ireland. Owen Murphy, tap it over, no one at St. Anton. No, caught the ball over the bar, out he goes. So he's able to do it all. His long range freeze, probably haven't seen a whole lot of it this year, but in the last couple of years, scores a huge amount. And so he's definitely earned his right to be named. But he's a long way to go because he's still only a young chap. I played in the Hurling for Cancer game the other night in Newbridge, Jim Bulger's, you know, fundraiser, and Davy Russell's. And Brendan Cummins and Damien Fitzhenry were on the goals, and anyone that was, I think it was 6,000 at the game, and they gave the two greatest performances.
Really, yeah, wow.
And I don't know what's Cummins still hurling. He was brilliant.
Did he play out the field as well, Cummins?
He did, for his club, and played outfield football as well. Yeah. He's kind of an all-rounder. I'd say he's probably good at whatever sport. Yeah. But Fitzhenry, I've seen Fitzhenry playing since he was with that great Wexford team in 96, and then I played Railway Cup with him, and then I played this cancer game with him a couple of years. I have never seen anyone better than Fitzhenry.
Right.
I don't think he's hurled in something like 6 years, and he's still point blank saving everyone. And I said to Taggy Fogarty for the game, I said, Taggy, when you go in on goal, just tap the ball over the back. Don't go for a goal. And this is only a kind of an exhibition game, if you like. Yeah. Taggy wouldn't listen to me, no, because Taggy would be thick and he'd be stubborn and he'd want to prove a lad wrong. So he went for a goal every time. Fitzhenry saved everyone. And I said, Taggy, you're still not listening to me, Taggy.
He probably thought you were trying to wind him up to actually go for goal.
He probably did. And the only thing that bet him that day was Horgan. So Horgan was playing Patrick Horgan. And he had seen the incredibly save. And it wasn't just from Taggy, he was saving him from everyone. And Horgan got the ball about 21 yards out, and he looked and he said, listen, there's no point in just driving this. There's only one place, four places that I'm going to beat Fitzhenry. Either the top corners or either the bottom corners. Mm. Top left-hand corner every time. Three goals. And that was the only time you were going to beat Fitzhenry. And near the end of the game then, the ball, we kind of got a free. Fitzhenry, or Patrick Horgan took it. And we were getting bippy, I think, a pint or 2 pints. So if Horgan got this, he was, you know, we won. I was on Davy Russell's team, and there was about 10 of them on the goal, if not 20, and an absolute bullet. And there was loads of bodies there. Next minute, there was a bit of pulling going on because, you know, lads get competitive. And Fitzhenry got a right few belts, still came out with the ball. Oh. So brave as a lion. Yeah. Like, I think there could have been 15 brothers in it. Or, I don't know exactly, but, you know, I'd say he was rare the right way, made of good stuff. And so just, you know, it's just, you're talking about the greatest goalies. If Murphy stays going, he'll earn the right to be up there with guys like Cummins and Fitzhenry, but fair play to him.
Are you obliged to call it for Kilkenny? Does that come with the passport, 9 stamps on the passport?
Yeah, I always do. I always back him. But this year I'm going to go a little bit different. I think it's a draw. Yeah, I think it's going to be a draw. I just think there's nothing to separate him. If you go speed, I was trying to look at and see where it's going to be won or lost. Speed, fitness, I don't think there's any difference. Character and the ability to dig in and the ability to come back, I don't think this year there's any difference between the two teams. I think it's going to come down to simple terms, the skill of it, the hooks, the blocks, winning that ball, who's going to be able to, when they get the chance, take it. We've seen Limerick in the semi-final, like, unknown to them, they haven't done it before, they missed the cut, you know, 7 or 8 wides, which they usually put over the bar. And I think skill-wise, there's nothing really in the difference either. So when you average out the 1 to 15, so I think it's going to be a draw.
Who's going to win the replay?
Kilkenny.
Yeah. There wasn't even a beat. brilliant. Well, listen, enjoy the game anyway. I'm sure you're. Do you? I'm sure you do. It's like it's 2014. You retired.
14.
So there was 15 where they won, 16 where they got, where they were beaten, and then a bit of quite a drought. But this is the first time back since then, obviously. So.
I was actually for 1,015 Ireland. I was in a corporate box.
All right.
And you know, I didn't enjoy that experience for that way, because you kind of only go out to watch the match.
Yeah.
You don't see the warm ups. You don't soak it up as much. So that was a different type of experience. I think the last few, when you go walk away from it, you don't really become involved as a fan for a couple of years.
Right.
As regards, if they win or lose, you're not greatly moved by either.
Right.
You're delighted, and I had a brother, so you're kind of more involved that way. But regards, otherwise, you're not really. It's nearly like being a sub. When you're a sub, you're not as kind of...
A bit detached from
it. You are a little bit detached. And I was talking to JJ the other day, and a few of the lads, and we were just saying that Jackie as well. We're saying the last day was a bit different. The Cork day, I think it was the first time you really felt back the bit of excitement and the nerves, and affected by winning or losing the game. And you know, we were over the moon after the semi-final. So it was nice. It's a good feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you know, like everyone doesn't. Nobody likes the nerves or that before a game. But like I was a sub in my last year, so I realised, you know, I'd love to have the nerves like again, and it's the same as a fan. Then it's actually lovely to have the bit of tingle before a match and the feeling that what's going to happen if we win, what's going to happen if we lose. So we're kind of starting to get back on the fan bandwagon as such. So looking forward to it now. Yeah,
yeah. I'm sure when your crew grow up as well, you'll be back with all those nerves. I've absolutely no doubt about that, given the genealogy. One comment to read here before we let you away, Tommy. For this from Kinvara FM's Extra Time Show, a nice plug for them in Galway. Whoever got Tommy Walsh into the setup deserves a serious pay rise. As a hurling fan, this last 20 minutes has been a fascinating insight into the All-Ireland, a pure natural at analysis. I could listen all day.
Yeah, well, sure, listen, it's all in my book. I'm only reading what's in the book.
Go out of that. I think it was Nathan, actually, who made the first call to you, so, you know, we must...
Yeah, it was actually...
It was Dave McIntyre. Who
was it McIntyre?
It was a lucky one, because for myself now, because I'm just saying I enjoy the match days now, towards I would have been totally probably against the media such, like, as in never saw getting involved, but... It was an interview with JJ and Taggy, just looking back on our times, and we had great crack on it. So it kind of just started really a little bit of that, but you know.
Listen, we're delighted to have you, and we look forward to getting your thoughts the weekend as well. And thanks a million for coming into us this morning.
Great, lads.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. OTB AM.